Welcome to the Casual Coders Podcast.
Season 2!
Woo! I'm Chandler, your resident 3D printing enthusiast. We have another 3D printing enthusiast here, Quentin, and the resident expert, arguably. You've been doing 3D printing the longest, Ian, and the 3D printer noob.
The resident noob.
Fair. Alex.
Hey, I gave you a 3D printer. Have you touched it at all yet?
I moved it.
You moved it? I mean, that's a really impressive display of... ability there.
You know, I was going to plug it in, but then I almost fried it because that was a 240 volt outlet. Oops.
Wait, what? How did you almost plug it? It's 110 plus.
So it's a bit of a tangent. I found there was an electrical box in my basement in a perfect spot. And I was like, why don't I move the 3D printer here? So well, I installed a GFCI outlet in there and wired it up and it worked all right. But when I went to test the outlet, all the lights on my meter were going off. And then I realized, oh, this is a 240 volt and it just wasn't labeled anywhere. So nice. I fried some Christmas lights, but it's okay. The printer is safe.
So when you go to test it,
the little thing explodes?
No, all the lights come on and it does. That's not a valid case. So I just kind of found out the hard way. Oops, your GFCI doesn't blow up, but definitely.
Fun fact, that printer has a 220 volt mode. It probably worked.
I figured it'd be okay. Honestly, I was most surprised that the Christmas lights didn't.
There's a switch.
You got to slide the little switch.
Good thing I tested it.
But now you know.
Well, I guess maybe we could talk about 3D printing because that was the main point of this.
We just talked about 3D printing.
Maybe I'll move my printer to a better location to get started.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Hopefully you get started after this.
So
maybe. I hope I learned something.
Yeah, that's the goal. So what is 3D printing? Well, it's basically when you put a hot glue gun on a robot.
That's true.
I never thought about it that way. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, that's not entirely correct, though.
No, it's not. If you want to be
I mean, in the very general form, yeah, it's really a glorified hot glue gun on a robot with some hot glue that melts at a higher temperature.
Yeah, well, it's not glue, actually. It's generally plastic.
It's a polymer.
Yeah, stock material, nozzle, and a heater. That's 3D printing.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, though. There's also two kinds of 3D printing.
No, you're wrong there, too, though.
Am I wrong?
Well, you totally forgot MJF. You totally forgot SLS, which is another one of the big
ones.
Okay,
there's a fucking lot of 3D
There's a lot of 3D printing
We got
types.
That 3D printing nerd here.
I'm sorry. I got to correct
it. Sorry, that name is taken. There's already a YouTube channel called that.
Uh-oh. Sorry.
Listen, sorry, Joel. Copyright I'm sorry. Claim.
Listen, I got to be pedantic about it, all right? You know what? I've been in this the longest. I'm ready to tear them apart.
You're doing all right, well.
Great. Cool. So we'll go over the types of 3D printing.
I mean, let's start with the most common, right?
The two most common from the consumer level are FFF/FDM. You should use FFF. It's the open source standard. FDM is technically proprietary.
Yeah, Stratasys.
There's also MSLA and SLA, which are extremely similar processes. The only difference between MSLA and SLA is that SLA uses lasers and MSLA uses like a smartphone screen. That is resin printing.
It's literally a smartphone screen. Yeah,
it is literally a smartphone screen. They use UV lights and then a smartphone screen to cure resin in specific shapes.
I got to be honest, dog. You lost me about 10 acronyms ago. What does any of that mean? For someone like me.
Okay. FFF stands for Fused Filament Fabrication.
Okay.
Which is what your printer does.
Okay.
Essentially extrusion.
I forget what SLA is. It's selective...
Selective laser... I think the L is laser.
SLS is selective laser sintering.
Yes, I think SLS is
Originally, SLA with the Form Labs is selector laser... I don't know what the A stands for. It's something, but
it doesn't matter because we're not going to talk about it very much. Because I wanted to primarily focus on FFF/FDM because one, that is what I have the most experience with.
I guess
that's
also
Ian has the most experience with. That's what Quentin has the most experience with, and that's what the printer you have does.
Maybe I'll have some experience with it someday.
Let's also define FDM, which is fused deposition modeling.
Which is technically patented.
Which is the patented term by Stratasys Systems. I mean, it's the same thing as fused filament fabrication. It's just that it's the method of heating up a thermoplastic and fusing layers together to build up a part from nothing. And 3D printing is fun because it's technically 2.5D printing in most applications.
Yeah, so it builds up the print layer by layer. And whenever you take your 3D model and turn it into the G code, which is what your 3D printer executes, you actually have to decide in the software how thick you want those layers.
Okay, that makes sense.
So,
I mean, technically you could turn a regular paper printer into a 3D printer, right? If you were to put fat paper through it for some reason,
that's,
I don't know, cardstock or whatever, and print a shape on each layer of paper, you could print a billion layers of paper out, cut out each layer, and stack out the result, and you would have a 3D object created from little thin layers of paper.
I guess I can imagine that.
It would take forever. but
it would work.
It's a similar idea or thought.
Yeah, the only difference is instead of paper, we're using plastic.
Right.
So just for maybe someone who doesn't have a printer, I do have some recommendations for like price ranges and brands of printers that you may want to buy. Say, for example, you decide, hey, this 3D printing thing is pretty cool. I want to go out and buy another one. What should I buy?
Got to start the print farm somehow.
Got to start the print farm. Because every 3D printer hobbyist isn't a 3D printer hobbyist until they've owned at least 39 printers. So
what?
That's a common stereotype.
I mean, I have owned four.
He knows someone who fits that. He's owned three. I've only owned two, but I kind of jumped the gun with my second one and went for like one of the top end printers that you can purchase.
That's my recommended start, honestly.
Yeah, well, that's part of what I wanted to go over here. So what do you want to do? Like, say, Alex, if you were to buy a new 3D printer today, what would you want to do?
Well, see, to be honest, the reason I never bought one myself was because I just don't know how to get started. And I know this is something you've mentioned. Once you have something, you can find a lot of uses for it.
You'll
but right
uses.
Now, I'm just like, I'm not sure. I guess maybe making cases or enclosures for projects. Or...
Well, that's actually a good use case. That's actually
that's
why
a great use case.
That's why I purchased my 3D printer.
That would make sense.
But I also ended up using it to create a lot of like prototyping. Like I was learning how to use CAD software at the same time I bought the 3D printer. So I ended up 3D printing a lot of my CAD prototypes.
Okay.
I also just create like little decorative knickknacks to give.
Right.
People. It's literally a personalized gift making machine.
I do have a lot of knickknacks that are 3D printed.
So like
I use. I made just making real random knickknacks and things.
Yeah.
I'm the odd one out here because I am typically making mechanical parts. I build parts to hang stuff and to enclose things for a lot of my projects. Like the clocks have 3D printed cases.
Right.
All of the clocks have 3D printed cases. I have 3D printed some camera accessories and things. Like I've literally printed lens adapters to adapt like a Canon lens to Sony E-mount and other similar things like that. They work out okay for the most part, to be honest, which is pretty cool. Saves a whole bunch of money doing that. Just make it yourself.
Well,
have it right now.
One thing I know Alex loves is organization.
Yeah.
And that is like what I've been using my 3D printer for like the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
I 3D printed and I posted on the Casual Coders Instagram if anyone wants to go look at
that. Yeah, you should have used a stud finder on yourself first.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, I 3D printed a pegboard. It was a hexagonal pegboard.
You really like that one.
Your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah.
Whoa. It's a dad joke, man.
This 3D printed pegboard, and I just hung up a bunch of my stuff that was just sitting in the floor of my closet. So now it's all nicely organized and also looks really aesthetic because now in the background of all my video calls, you see a whiteboard, which usually has a bunch of weird programmer drawings on it. And then next to that whiteboard is a hexagonal pegboard that has like electronics hung up on it, has a picture of me and my wife and the dog, has a wooden gun I built that shoots rubber bands because I thought it looked cool. Like, it's a really cool looking thing to have in the background. And it's organized because I can have all my stuff there. I can see it.
I hate to be that guy. I'm going to rag on you. What's the difference between just going to Menards and buying for $12 a big, like, 4-foot by 8-foot sheet of white pegboard?
It's aesthetic. It looks cool.
It does look cool. Hexagons are the bestagons. You didn't hear it from me first.
I mean, you got me there, but...
Hexagons are the best hexagons. Another thing I also do it for a lot of like home stuff, like around my house. Like I made a key hanger that says keys and has little hooks sticking out of it, and you can just hang your keys up. And it's the most white mom thing ever. And my wife loved it. She was immediately like, "I want this hung up in the house" as soon as I found it.
You know what? That's a good point you say about organization, because as I have been thinking about it, one of the things I saw from a coworker who really liked using 3D prints for organization was a holder for CF cards, and I know that's ancient technology, but SD cards, micro SD cards, USB drives.
Which I have on my pegboard.
I think that would be the first thing I would try to print, because I actually have a use for that. I use like lots of USB drives and SD cards all the time.
See, I printed something like that at some point, and then I just never used it. I just still, to this day, have a stack of thumb drives on my desk.
I think that's the difference between us. I would definitely have that even at work just to organize all my junk.
I am not the most organized person, but then again, the amount of projects that I'm constantly flipping between, I don't know.
Yeah.
My desk is just a nightmare of all sorts of random stuff. Here's part of project A, B, C,
yeah.
D. Here's like 13 down the line, a random component just sitting here. I have buttons on my desk still from, you know, whenever I've been poking at button-based projects for boot and reset buttons and the usual.
I do notice that with most engineers. I'm the one who always cleans my desk before I leave.
Yeah. I find that the organization, I've been getting more organized with my projects. It helps me complete them faster.
Yeah.
I don't really have an issue with completing projects. Usually, if I set my mind to it, I will complete a project. I mean, sometimes eventually, and sometimes I need some help on it. But I do notice that with you guys a lot, where it's like, okay, we started another startup and another project and another project. And oh, by the way, what happened to this other project that was going on 4 projects ago? Oh, we abandoned it. What do you mean? You got 80% of the way there. You had a product that was ready to be released, and then you just dropped it.
Well, 3D printing can organize your life.
What were you saying, Quentin?
Sorry, I called him out.
I was just trying to talk on the... the thumb drive. Yeah, I actually the aesthetic part.
Yeah.
I 3D printed a Mario brick.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's got a screw top, and that's where all my...
Don't tell Nintendo.
Yeah, don't
You're tell. Probably going to get a cease and desist in the mail soon.
I'm sorry, it's a Minecraft...
There we go. It's a Microsoft is fine.
It's a Minecraft block. You screw top, then you just drop all your USB drives in, and then...
That's pretty nice, yeah. I like that. It's fun and useful.
I've 3D printed shelf brackets before. And they actually, because like, and we'll get to the materials later, but like some of the materials are actually like really strong. Like they're just fine for household use. Maybe not industrial, but household, just fine. So Lowe's was going to charge me $10 for a set of shower curtain like hooks.
Mm.
Nah, 3D printed them for less than $1. And they look, they work and no one's asked any questions. So
that they're just plastic shower hooks. Yeah,
exactly. They do exactly what I have a bunch of coasters that are 3D printed that I have to 3D print more of because the dog ate them. And I have a bunch of phone stands that 3D printed that I just really use all the time that are really nice. So like I actually use some of my 3D prints daily.
Which is
like
3D really printed cool. Dog treats. Who would have thought?
So, hey, someone's working on it, right? The food 3D printers and stuff.
Funny enough, I don't have any of my, I think I have maybe 2 or 3 things that I have 3D printed. All the rest of
you sell stuff.
Yeah, I sell stuff.
Oh.
Either sell it or give it away.
Hey, it works, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a keychain and that Minecraft cobblestone
print. Yeah, right. I'm trying to think if there's any 3D printed stuff that I really have that I use every single day, and I'm not sure I immediately can think of anything. I mean, I guess one of them is like a headphone hook. I 3D printed just a super simple like hook
that
I screwed to the bottom of my desk to hold my headphones on. But I feel like nowadays I just put my headphones on the table instead of hang them on the hook. It's a little.
I always have my headphones hung up on a 3D printed hook.
I like that.
Yeah,
I
would, the hook is at the table level. It goes underneath the table from back when my desktop was in a different spot and when my headphones were connected differently.
Yeah.
So
mine's on the pegboard, of course. If say you wanted to buy a new 3D printer today, like what would you want to buy? If you want, like, if you're like me and you want a machine that is rough and tumble like a Toyota and will just keep printing. I know, Toyota was probably not the best. Cease and desist.
Well, the funny thing is, Toyota, you can drop it off the roof of a building and it'll still drive, but that rust will get to it.
Uh-oh.
That's Ohio.
I thought that was a Ford. No, I don't know.
Yeah, Ford too.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of Prusa printers, which are usually a little bit more of Quentin is too.
Same. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, me too.
They're a company of the Czech Republic. They generally have a higher cost, especially since you have to pay import tax when you import them in the United States. I had to pay like $50 or $60 in tariffs. But it was worth it because this printer just runs. I've had it for a year. I've done very little maintenance. I've basically just kept it clean and lubed it, and it just keeps chugging. I've had to do no calibration, nothing. It'll run almost any material that you can buy on the market today, and it just works. The software is great because it's all open source, and it's continually improved. There's firmware updates almost once a month. The software gets updated weekly, like the software that actually runs on your computer. It's great. It is by far, if you come to me and said, I want the best printer available, buy a Prusa. I have no other questions asked.
So use code what kind of
Chandler
cost?
Chandler CC for 15% off.
What are you thinking? How much do they cost? I mean, I don't know anything about them.
You're usually paying a premium for them. So my printer was about $1,000.
Okay, that seems like a lot.
I got the regular Prusa.
The XL's like
$2,000. $3,000.
Oh, $3,000?
Yeah, the XL is $3,000. But the XL also has a tool changer, so you can like have multiple.
I think
colors.
That's an added
tool
option.
It is an added option. More. That's we're not gonna talk about that. It's too far. We're gonna scare them if we can.
Well, I mean, I have the tool mini. Changer make me think of CNC, and those cost like $500,000, you know.
That's fair.
I have the mini.
He has the mini, which is about $350.
The mini is what I recommend to anyone who's looking to get into 3D printing.
Yeah, the mini is like the mid option where it's like $350, but it's, again, just like my printer.
It's still Prusa quality. It's still
quality,
a good printer.
Same software that my printer runs great. My printer's like the printer farm printer. Like if you have a printer farm, this is the printer you buy.
Hmm.
And you just constantly run it.
I mean, that's how they make the printer themselves.
Another
Prusa
option
has a huge print farm of a bunch of Prusa printers.
Yeah.
And those Prusa printers print more Prusa printers.
Correct.
It's the RepRap project. Yeah. I mean, the RepRap project has been around for ages, and it seems like it's maybe slowly dying out a little bit with
it's
some of the modern printers. It's mostly Prusa because Bamboo is doing all the like injection molded parts and everything. Yeah. None of their stuff is 3D printed. It's all injection molded.
But speaking of Bamboo, they're the Apple of 3D printers, because they're 3D printers also, when you take them out of the box and you hook them up to your cell phone, which a lot of people don't like, including me, they just work. They're like the Apple. They just work. Just they works. Run. They do great quality prints that are super fast. If all you care about is print quality and speed, Bamboo Labs is cheaper than Prusa and faster than Prusa. No doubt. The problem is they're all proprietary parts, so they're possible to work on. It's proprietary firmware, so you can't upgrade the firmware, which there is actually an open source firmware option now. And Bamboo said, we're not going to stop you, but if the warranty's void if you do it.
And I take it this is a very steep price?
No, actually, they're cheaper than Prusa.
$1,500.
I believe they
No,
the, right?
They have... No, well, that's
mean, yeah,
for the top
a P1P.
End. But there's the P1P,
I only think
only
of
like
the top end when you talk about Bamboo, if I'm honest.
Don't they come with a built-in tool changer for most of them, too?
Only the P1P does, which is like... Well, not P1P, the X1, the top end one does.
I thought the Mini had one, too.
Yeah, but that's multi-material extrusion thing. That's different. That's not a tool changer.
Okay, it just does different colors.
My bad.
That's multi-colors or different materials themselves. But it's wasteful.
Yeah. So now if you, these, like, they're a little bit, so like the P1P is like their cheapest, like, full size model. They also have a Mini, which is even cheaper. But again, they're like Apple. They're supposed to just work, and they're supposed to be like for more aimed at the average consumer instead of like a 3D printing or a maker, like 3D printing enthusiast or a maker, excuse me. So,
I mean, it is certainly a market segment. I mean, way back in the day, you bought a 3D printer because you wanted to tweak on it and tinker with it and learn about it. And it was such a new technology. It obviously still had uses for rapid prototyping in companies and building your own stuff. But most hobbyists were tinkerers and tweakers and makers.
Even as late
and
as
we're
like
seeing it now slowly push towards, oh, I just want to buy a 3D printer as a utility. I want it as something that just works and just prints and that I never have to touch. It's honestly the way that I've gone. I mean, I used to be a big tinkerer when it came to 3D printers, and now they're just tools to me. I just need a 3D printer that turns on and works and prints out a good part. I don't really care about anything else going on below the surface or under the hood. I mean, I still care about it a little bit. I care about what specs it has and how it runs and what it runs. But other than that, I just want it to work and turn on and do its thing.
And I'm with Ian. I pretty much just use my printer as a printer. I don't care about tweaking it. I don't care about tinkering with it. It is a printer to me. However, when I first got into the hobby, I was into the tweaking and tinkering. And that's why I bought the Ender 3, because it was the cheapest printer at the time and it needed a lot of tweaking and needed a lot of tinkering, but I thought that was fun. Now that I'm like, I don't have the time for that. I'd rather just have a printer that just runs. That way I can do my projects without having to worry about the print failing or the print doing anything else. So now, like I said, though, the Bamboo Labs and the Prusa, they're a little bit more expensive, especially the Prusa, but they're like, it just prints, and their quality is unmatched right now. Now, let's say you wanted something a little bit more affordable. I have
Prusa Mini. That's my only option.
Prusa Mini's on this list, but there's a couple other printers that some people have, I've seen some really good reviews for, one of which I had some experience with, and they're pretty good. They're a lot cheaper. They're more like $300 range. There's a Creality Ender 3 V3, which is the third iteration of the Creality's very famous Ender 3.
What did they do with the V3? Did they make it dual lead screw?
And yes, like dual fix lead up screw. It's got the dual lead screw. It's got the
BL Touch or whatever.
The touch sensor built in, just like the Prusa, so it automatically levels the bed. We can get to that later. The Lagoon Neptune is also pretty good. And the Solval SV06 is a clone of the Prusa Mark III, but from China, so it's cheaper. It's like an almost identical clone, and it runs the same software and everything. And so
didn't Bamboo come out with a...
Yeah, the Bamboo A1. It's their like budget printer. It's like $350.
Isn't it like almost a carbon copy of the Prusa Mini?
Probably. It's yes, it is, actually. It's very close to the Prusa Mini, but it's with the Bamboo Labs app and everything. Now, let's say you're broke as hell, but you really want a 3D printer.
An Anet A8. No, I'm kidding. Don't burn your house down.
Don't burn your house down. Micro Center sells Ender 3 Pros for $150.
You can occasionally find them on sale for $100.
Yes.
I have an Ender 3 Pro that I purchased for $100. For the parts alone, it's worth it. Otherwise, I don't know. But also, you know, the reason I don't recommend an Ender 3 is because I'm recommending it mostly based off of you and your experiences. But then you gave me your old Ender 3 and I took it apart and I found so many mechanical failures on you. So honestly, that opinion may be biased by a guy who doesn't know anything about mechanics. I mean, so much stuff was installed backwards and upside down and just done wrong straight up. I'm not afraid to admit that. Like, it was bad.
Yeah, you're not afraid to admit that. You're the one roasting me right now. What the fuck?
Well, I'm not afraid to roast you, right? Live on this here podcast. Really not. I mean, it was bad, though. I mean, yeah, there was a lot of pain.
I have been slowly gaining mechanical knowledge since... Part of the reason I got rid of that 3D printer is because I fucked it up so bad that I just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
Oh, yeah,
and
it was bad.
It was mostly my fault. I'm not even going to, like, argue with Ian. It was my fault. I had no experience with 3D printing when I first bought it, and all of my mechanical knowledge that I've learned is basically from me 3D printing. So I'm getting better about it, especially now that I like own a house and actually have to do work on it. I'm learning very quickly what the proper way to do things is. So
Do it right the first time, please. By all means, do it right.
I will do it right the first time. I didn't have anyone telling me to do it right the first time when I had that 3D printer.
Well, now you've got me ragging on you to do it right the first time. Yeah. So.
And then my experience with the Ender 3 was pretty bad.
Yeah, you didn't have a great... Well, you're the V2. You didn't have the V3, but you're the V2.
Regardless, it was not a good experience.
I've had several friends who honestly say the same thing. Like the V2, I've got a friend who could not get it to like stick to the bed at all. Yeah. Just had constant bed adhesion issues. I've never had those with the magnetic build plate thing. I don't know. It's a little uneven sometimes. I probably should throw an auto level sensor on it, but I don't know. It works well enough. I've been lazy.
The one that I had, I sold to a coworker for very cheap because I was tired of dealing with it. Every time I would fix something on it, it would break. Then something else would break. And it just got to a point where I would just get completely tired of it and it would piss me off. So I just got rid of it for dirt cheap. He said that he had to put a lot of hours into it just to get it to fucking function. But he ended up getting functional.
Luckily for you, I do believe the 3D printer that I gave you, which was his old printer, I've mostly fixed the mechanics and those issues, which should be at least a fairly okay mechanical frame.
It's probably back to where it was when I purchased
Everyone's
it.
Everyone's making me really nervous.
I can't guarantee that.
Like, here, this is the printer everyone here hates. Go on ahead and take it and try to get it to work. But don't worry. Most of the stuff is installed upside down or backwards. You'll
no,
figure
he
it
fixed
out.
That.
I fixed the upside down and backwards
stuff. I hope
stuff.
That I get
what
it to work.
What was upside down and backwards?
Like the X-axis belt was like upside down and backwards. Like it was rubbing and just like not right. And like there were screws that were just straight up loose.
Just remember, this was my
I
first 3D printer.
I think some of the brackets
printer.
Were backwards too. Like maybe that right side like axis like bracket thing was upside down. There were screws installed incorrectly.
So does
just,
the
like,
Ender
straight
3
up, there
come
were,
with
like,
a manual?
Issues.
It does,
it
but
does.
It was bad.
You might have to find the PDF. Some person's probably made a tutorial online how to make it better. I mean, I'm pretty sure the printer I gave you needs a fan on the hot end and filament in the top, and it will work.
All right.
It's got new software on it. I mean, it does
that
heat
is the
up.
One
I ran
thing
a test.
I did right about the 3D printer. I always had custom software.
I put new
right.
software on it. Whatever you had on there is gone. But I ran a test print and I got parts of it down. It's just that hot end was overheating because I didn't put a small fan on it. The hot end needs a little fan on there.
Never mind. I don't know anything. This is Ian's podcast now.
I just stripped your firmware off it because I had no clue what the state was.
That's
so
fair.
So my immediate thought was, okay, I need to put this printer in a known good state. I don't care whatever he did before. I'm putting new stuff on it, so it's on like a clean slate. It's basically a fresh Marlin build.
I'm not offended because I know for a fact that's good firmware because Kyle's 3D printers both still run that firmware and they both still run flawlessly.
It's probably fine firmware. It's just that I wasn't sure what was configured about it, how it was set up, so I just went my own.
It was
config.
Just mildly modified
and honestly,
Marlin.
You're free to modify it and put whatever firmware on it you want, right?
I'll try to get it to work. That's all
I
can
basically
promise.
I gave you a tinkering project, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Alex,
not give me a functioning printer per se.
If you ever have to buy replacement parts, just buy them on Amazon. Don't ever try and talk to their customer
Creality
service.
Sir, customer service sucks.
It took me six
They're
months to get a replacement
Ender.
Part, and they sent me the wrong replacement
buy
part.
Buy them on Amazon? No, man. Just buy them on AliExpress. They're dirt cheap.
I need replacement parts to get it to work, I'm probably going to buy the cheap printer you recommend that's just plug and play.
that's probably moving on to another piece of the 3D printer.
I can also just give you replacement parts because I have so many spares.
Yeah, you guys can print me some. Come on. You act like I got nobody
I was
on my
like
side.
Circuit boards.
I could probably
the boards are fine. The board fine. That does have a new board in it too.
Oh, right.
The newer board has quieter drivers, so it won't be as loud. But anyway, so you do need some software on your computer to get a 3D printer to run, obviously. You need to be able to
turn... Yeah, you need drivers. No, I'm kidding.
Not dri- well,
yeah, you need printer drivers. Thanks, Prince HP. Buller. Yeah.
When you turn... When you get a 3D model, either off the internet or one that you design, you need to turn it into code that the computer... That the computer, excuse me, the 3D printer can understand.
Mm-hmm. 3D printer is a computer.
It is technically a computer. And you do that using what's called a slicer, because as we stated earlier, a 3D printer just takes a bunch of 2D layers and stacks them on top. A slicer is what slices those layers.
The slicer is what converts a 3D object into layers that are printable by a printer.
Yes.
So stop me here if you're going to tell me more about this, but as somebody who has no experience in this, what am I looking for on 3D models online? Is there like a place you recommend to look for sample
printables.com or Thingiverse?
Colts 3D.
Or Colts 3D. Those are all three good websites. What is it?
Colts 3D. Colts. So, Colt, like, as in like
the horse. C-U-L-T-S,
oh, C-U-L-T. Yeah. Colts 3D.
As in or like printables. Religion.
Yeah, okay.
Printables is like Prusa's own, but it'll run on anything.
So printables and Thingiverse are both free.
So is Prusa Slice.
Oh, Thingiverse. Prusa, okay,
so is printables.com is also free.
And these are all what, STL files? I've heard of those. Yeah. Okay.
That file format's been around since the 80s.
Oh, wow.
Usually if I can't find it on printables or Thingiverse, I look on Colts 3D, and usually you can find it on Colts 3D, but you'll have to pay for the file.
Oh,
yeah. Like people model things and then they sell them on Colts 3D.
That makes sense, I guess.
So that you can purchase this model and then
print like it. $2 or $3.
Okay. That depends. I've seen models as high as $60.
So yeah, I have too. Printables started their own store that's like on the side to their regular Printables website. But from what I've seen, the Printables like actual website, like with the 3D models, has the highest quality free 3D models I've seen. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a bunch of 3D printing enthusiasts just started using printables and they're just really good at 3D modeling. If that's where all the engineers go, I don't know. But overall, printables.com has the highest quality free 3D models, but they also have some super high quality paid ones. Like, for example, they have an RC car. I think it's like $20 for the models, but it also comes with the full instructions.
Wow.
And all in a BOM. So you can build a fully 3D printed, except for the motors and the circuit boards, car.
Hmm. I have noticed, though, there's a much larger variety of items on Thingiverse.
Thingiverse is also older.
Thingiverse is significantly older, though. I mean, it was originally a MakerBot thing, and now Ultimaker owns it. It's been around a long, long time.
They did recently update the UI, so the website is getting maintained again. For a while, it was unmaintained, and it was garbage. But now they're starting to maintain it. It's starting to come back, and Thingiverse
is coming.
I think it
is more ad-riddled than Printables.
It is more ad-riddled.
Printables is a really nice website.
What are ads?
Yeah, right.
Well, Thingiverse, I think, will, like, in some cases, block you from downloading it if you don't turn off your ad blocker.
I haven't seen that yet.
I have, Printables has no ads because Printables feeds into Prusa's printer sales. So they're like, if you need a 3D model, go to Printables. If you need a 3D printer, go buy a Prusa. That's kind of what Printables does.
Yeah.
Which is a better business model, in my opinion. I mean, my de facto search is Printables. That's where I start. And if I can't find something on Printables, it's a guarantee pretty much that I can find it on Thingiverse.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
And if not, then
experience.
I have to make it myself because it's something really weird and custom, like cases for a product that I'm building or whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah, which will get which now that you have your 3D model,
right? So you have an STL now.
Or 3MF. There's also the new standard 3MF. Called 3MF.
Okay,
I don't remember what the MF stands for. I know 3 is 3D.
It's basically just a glorified zip archive, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's a lot more modern. It has a lot more metadata features and stuff. Mm-hmm. Ian is not so convinced.
I'm not super convinced on them because they're like susceptible to injection attacks, apparently. You can inject malicious code into a 3MF. You cannot do that to an STL.
Just get your damn 3D model and we'll continue.
Things that I'll never worry about.
Things that you'll never care about, exactly. Yeah.
So there's the bet. Now, here's a good thing. This is going to warm your heart. The best 3D printing slicers are all open source.
Heck yeah.
Now, I have the most experience with Prusa Slicer. Yes, the same Prusa.
Heard of it.
And Cura.
Mm-hmm. I've not heard of that.
I used to use Cura.
I also used to use Cura.
I really loved Cura back when they had the old interface, and then they switched to that new one.
They switched again. The new one's even worse.
C-U-R-A, Cura?
Yeah. Cura. I really liked the original interface. It was super nice. It rebundled Pronterface as well, which was like a interactive control thing for 3D printers. But then they switched it and they made it like new and ugly, and I hated it because I couldn't find all the settings I wanted in a single click like I used to be able to. They Windows 11'd it.
Yeah.
Oh no.
So for Prusa Slicer, if you have a Prusa, use Prusa Slicer. Don't be an idiot. Just use Prusa Slicer. It just works. It
you
turns
have a understood. 3D printer, just use Prusa Slicer, in my opinion.
Well,
I don't see any benefits.
Agree,
90%
of the time, but
I've never used Super Slicer, which I know is on your list.
Super Slicer is a fork of Prusa Slicer.
I used to use Repetier. Prusa Slicer is better. I mean, Repetier just bundles Prusa Slicer or the Cura. Original Slicer and Cura, if yeah. you want.
Yeah, Prusa Slicer is what I recommend for 99% of people. I think it's the best one by far. It has the most pre-made presets. So you don't have to tinker as much. You just download the preset and run it, and it just works. Right.
Yeah, like you'll do first setup, and it'll ask, what 3D printer do you have? And you'll tick, I have an Ender 3, and it'll just create profiles for all that. Right. Printer,
you can even tick, like, oh, I bought this PLA from Amazon, and it'll be in the list. So you can just tick and use it. So it makes it way easier. Cura does that to some extent, but not nearly as good as Prusa Slicer.
Not
does.
As well. And I imagine some of that is the open source nature of Prusa Slicer.
Cura is also open source, though.
I never thought of it as open source.
It is, though. It is fully. It's. I think it's GPL, actually.
Yeah.
Prusa Slicer is GPL as well.
Should we also talk about brands of filament that you should buy?
That's going to be the That'll next come thing. Later. We're going to continue with the slicers.
We still need to actually get a model that we can print before we can actually determine what material we need
we
to
We also
print,
need to roast Simplify 3D.
Simplify 3D used to be good.
Yeah.
Before Prusa Slicer came about, Simplify 3D did have features that made it worth its $150 price tag.
It was like the ability- not subscription. You paid $150 for this major semantic version. Until 6.0 came out or whatever, and then you had to pay for it again.
Yeah.
What is this program?
It's another slicer.
It's another 3D printer slicer.
But it's called Simplify 3D. They're out of Southern Ohio, actually. I didn't know that. Simplify 3D is out of Columbus.
So much stuff out of Ohio, man.
Yeah. And they made like a proprietary 3D printing slicer, and for a while, they were the top dogs. They were the best one. But then Prusa's like, yeah, no, you're not. And they made just a better slicer that's open source and free. Simplify 3D was $150 per major update.
Because back in the day, Simplify 3D had the now ubiquitous feature of the ability to like paint on supports and define where you were going to support your model. Because, I mean, if you think of a model, right, you take this water glass and you flip it upside down, right? You print the outside ring, but then at some point you've got to print this flat piece of this, and you need to support it from above.
Right.
Obviously, you can't just print something off in space somewhere and have it made. So you have to apply supports to that. And Simplify 3D was, I believe, the first to have the option to explicitly place where you
just
wanted your supports to be. Like, yeah, click and drag, apply them that way. They had some other things. I don't remember what any of the other stuff was. I think people thought that it had a better quality or output than some of the
I've
earlier
heard,
slicers.
A friend of mine, also named Ian, and Alex knows him. He swore by Simplify 3D. He said it was worth every penny, in his opinion. I disagreed.
Day, it probably was.
At the time, I thought Cura gave me good enough outputs that I was happy with it. So I didn't want to pay the $150, especially since I was a minimum wage employee and couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Then the last software I want to talk about was Bamboo Studio, which is Bamboo Labs' proprietary slicer. Guess what it's a fork of? Prusa Slicer.
Why we need more GPL3.
Yeah, because they saw, that's what Prusa Slicer is licensed under. So
then theoretically I can go get source code for Bamboo Labs' slicer.
You can, it's on GitHub.
Okay.
So you can just go get it. It's heavily modified and it looks like they basically took Prusa Slicer and put a Cura skin on it, is what they did. So it looks like Cura, but it runs Prusa Slicer's code in the back end.
Which I guess probably makes sense. I imagine that they're sort of targeting a lot of corporate, and corporate is probably coming from Ultimaker, which
not
is
just
Cura.
Corporate, but also like Cura's UI, like you said, is Windows 11. It's like super simplified people who are new to this. So obviously that's going to be...
Yeah, I mean, if it means anything, I run my Prusa Slicer in expert mode all the way.
I do every single
option. Give me the option to super like... drill way deep
run your Prusa Slicer in? Do you just say simple mode, good enough, it runs my prints?
I haven't dug too deep into it because I usually either use a Blender or Tinkercad on...
Oh, no, well, for slicing your
for
models,
slicing
I
your
mean.
Models.
Oh, yeah, I use Prusa Slicer.
But do you use expert mode?
I use expert mode, kid.
I don't use expert mode. I haven't really dug
You probably don't need
it.
To because it just...
It's probably
Prusa
not
Slicer
needed.
Just works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just like having the ability to tweak stuff. I mean, I am still a bit of a tinkerer at heart, but, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, now that you have a file to print, we got to talk about the materials that you can print. So, I'm just going to say this right now. You're a beginner. Just print PLA.
I gave him a kilo of PLA.
Yeah, PLA.
I gave him a kilo of the good stuff.
Or polylactic acid, because I know you used to work in chemistry field.
I got that polymer experience.
Yeah, it is a derivative. There's also derivatives like PLA Plus. For the sake of this example, they're the same damn thing.
It doesn't matter. It's just a proprietary blend of random stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's easy to print. It's dimensionally accurate, as in your prints won't like warp after they cool and everything and throw off your measurements.
Okay.
It's relatively strong. It's actually quite strong.
It's very strong.
It's very
it's
strong.
It's just brittle.
The problem is it's brittle, and when you break it, it shatters into a million pieces like glass.
Like ABS does, too. So.
Yeah. It's worse than ABS when it comes to shattering, though.
ABS bends a little more.
Yeah.
It like, you know, can take a bit of strain.
There's tons and tons and tons of color options if you want fancy, fun looking prints. And
they also do transparent now.
Oh, I didn't know
that. PLA has always had transparent. If you get natural PLA. So here's the fun thing. When we were at MagFest, the cups, the clear cups that you would get for the water fountain, they were PLA.
They were made from
PLA.
That's cool.
Were they printed or they were?
No, they weren't. They were injection molded.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you can injection mold.
But no, there's always been natural PLA ever since, you know, I started in 2014 back at Micro Center. I think you could buy natural PLA.
I didn't realize that you could. Not until probably about 6 months ago, I didn't realize that you could buy 3D printable spools of PLA that were transparent.
And it's not super transparent. It's not as transparent as like a PETG or a PET or glass. It's almost, if you've seen like aged resin, it's a little bit yellowed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sort of its color.
Yeah. So one of the advantages of PLA, which if you care about this kind of thing, you'll love this. It's renewable because it's made from sugarcane and cornstarch.
Huh. It is not recyclable, though.
It's not biodegradable like a lot of people tried to tell people a few years ago. That's a lie. But then again,
that's the whole plastic recycling thing, and that's all its own can of worms.
Yeah, we don't want to open that can of worms. But you can grow plants and use the plants to make plastic, which is cool. Some brands that I've used that I'm a big fan of, obviously Prusament, because they are the top dogs in their entire field, which is Prusa's brand. Hatchbox is pretty good. They're available on Amazon, $25 a kilo, 2-day prime shipping. And Inland, which is Micro Center's brand, I'm a little salty about that they recently raised the prices on.
I've been salty about that for years.
They keep raising the prices because inflation, and it makes me sad.
So I have two more brands that I can add on to that. One is also available on Amazon. It's Overture.
I've heard they're really good. I've never used them, though.
Petchy. It's fine.
Their Petchy's good?
I believe they are.
I mean, it was years ago. But.
They were Amazon's brand before Amazon came out with the Amazon Basics brand. Oh, because you know Amazon has their own everything.
When I search like filament on Amazon, the basics doesn't even show up for me anymore.
I wouldn't know.
And then if you want, so you can buy a silk PLA,
which looks cool.
Like a shiny sort of like metallic-y.
I use OV V3D for my silk PLA.
Okay.
When I can't find it in Overture or Inland. But I buy like multicolor, like the rainbow color, tricolor, rainbow.
The transitional stuff or the ones that are like you can get 3D printer material it's split right down the middle.
Right.
So when you look at it from one angle, it's one color, and you look at it from the other angle, it's one color.
That's pretty much kind of
it is.
Okay. That is interesting. You'd think it would mix more in the nozzle, but it really doesn't.
Right.
It looks cool, like really cool
whenever you print it. It's got like, it's kind of like almost like tie-dyed.
Sure.
I do feel the need to throw in one thing about silk PLA here, and that it's about half as strong as normal PLA.
It's only good for any mechanical
application. Mm. It's just a cosmetic art sort of material.
Which is fine if that's what you're printing for.
Right, which is fine. Sure. But it's a limitation you should know, so you don't go, oh, I need this part, and I want it to look beautiful. I'm going to print it out of silk, and then it snaps in half. And you're like, oh, what the heck?
So if you're 3D printing Christmas ornaments...
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just as long as no one needs to hang on the Christmas ornaments, you should be good.
Or the dog doesn't get a hold of them totally.
They're tasty, I've heard.
So PLA generally costs $20 to $30 per kilogram. Unless you buy in bulk, then you can get as cheap as $8 a kilogram. Oh yeah, everything is metric here, so you got to suck it up and deal with the non-freedom units.
Yeah, learn how to use metric. I mean,
everything in 3D printing is metric.
I switched exclusively to metric because of 3D printing. I mean, all the hardware that holds
stuff together.
Okay, but
please stop giving me my temperature, my daily temperatures in Celsius. Thank you.
No, it just makes more sense.
Okay.
I switched away from Freedom Height. I hate Fahrenheit.
All right. Well, the next type of 3D printing material, which Ian briefly mentioned, is PETG.
I would have started with ABS, but...
I advise beginners to not touch ABS.
Not starting, but the list, because, PLA. ABS was the original material.
We'll get to that. PETG, I'm just going with what I have the most experience with. PLA, by far, I have the most experience with. PETG is second. PETG is actually what I've been printing the most recently. That's all I've been using because it's great for things that, like, my pegboard is all PETG because I can repeatedly press in a part and pull out a part and press in a part and pull out a part and it doesn't wear.
There's more flex.
There's a lot more flex. There's a lot more. You can do, like, living hinges, like, a lot better. It's just better for mechanical parts, in my opinion, PETG.
Depending
on the mechanical part. Like, for example, certain PLA tends to shatter. If you think that it needs to yield just a little bit before it shatters, you'd use PETG. But if you need raw tensile strength, then you should be using PLA. The one benefit that PETG has over PLA, PETG prints at a higher temperature, therefore is more temperature resistant. PLA will melt in a hot car.
Yeah.
Wow, really?
It will deform in a hot
car.
Don't
leave it on your dash.
Wow.
I don't live in Arizona either.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it'll deform in a hot car. So if you're going to have anything that's in a hot car or it will be in a hot environment, you need to think PETG first. And honestly, if it's going to be like really frequently in a hot environment, you should use like ABS or polycarbonate. Yeah. Like PETG is generally fine for most things that like a human would be fine with. Like if it's going to sit in your hot car, PETG should be fine. Just don't use PLA. PLA will warp us like crazy.
Yeah, it'll melt into a puddle.
One offshoot of PLA that you can get is glow-in-the-dark filament.
Oh.
Be careful with that because it'll shred a nozzle.
Yeah, it's super, super abrasive. It's about as abrasive as carbon fiber, I think.
And sandpaper.
So it just has like what, crystals of
it's
some kind of
aluminum strontinate, I think is what it is. It's something along those lines.
Okay,
it's
so
that
metal.
Glow-in-the-dark powder. Yeah, and I mean, it shreds a nozzle, I think, over the course of probably half a kilo.
What is it nozzle made out of, do you know?
Brass.
It took a brass nozzle from 0.4 millimeters of diameter, and it doubled it to like 0.8. It was
it'll widen your nozzle for you.
Yeah, well, my recommendation, I was too close to my recommendation is if you're going to print stuff like fills is what I call those, like glow in the dark or metal filled, you get wear resistant nozzles that are made of steel.
Okay, that makes sense.
And they work a lot better for that kind of stuff. They have some different properties, but 90% of the time you can just run them and they just act the same.
But if you've already been running on brass and then you switch to stainless steel, you're going to have to tweak all of your prints that you've already sliced.
Yeah. Just a little higher temperature because steel is less thermally conductive than brass.
So do you do that in like the printer or is that
the
something
slicer, that in the slicer? In the software so that runs on your computer.
File
the
specifies printer, temperature and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, the printer is a big dumb box. The printer has no concept of anything. It will gladly kill itself, run into models. It will run off the like printable areas, smash itself into the build plate. Like it'll do anything
it's a CNC
to
machine.
Kill you. It's a CNC machine.
So it's all about the input parameters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Like if
which
it's not
your
hit
slicer
end stops,
handles all that for you for 90% of the time. You don't have to think about that. Yep. So PETG is generally also a little bit more expensive. It's usually $25 to $35 a kilogram. I haven't found a good bulk supplier yet, but I also don't print that much of it for it to be worth for me to go bulk.
I think GST sells bulk. I could be mistaken.
I would have to look into it. It's great. Like I said, it's great for mechanical parts that need to yield a little bit, living hinges. It's also way more transparent than PLA. So if you want glass-like
it takes
parts,
a lot of work.
It does take a lot of work, but you can get some pretty transparent prints.
And also, the parts have to be designed to be glass-like. You're not going to take a random model off Thingiverse or Printables and just print it in Petchy and make it glass-like. If you want real transparency, your only option is either, you know, super expensive injection molding or an SLA printer.
Yeah. Some of the issues, though, that also come up with PETG are, like, it strings a lot. So, like, PETG has a lot of different mechanical properties of how it reacts whenever it's heated. It gets very sticky and tacky. So it likes to stick to itself. Whenever the printer nozzle moves, it'll leave little wispy bits of plastic. Because you have to print at a hotter temperature, it tends to droop a lot more on overhangs like he was talking about with the glass, as well as sharp corners. It also tends to blob up where you'll have like these little zits that look like on your print and you have to cut them off with a knife.
With some of the strings, you can fix it with like a blowtorch.
Yeah,
or
with a blowtorch
or
a lighter. That's what I do, and it usually looks fine afterwards.
With the tacky as well, it's got a very good layer adhesion. It sticks together super well.
But never print it on glass.
Yeah, there you go. You brought up what I was going to bring up if you didn't.
Don't, because if you print it on glass, it can mechanically fuse permanently to glass.
And
then
it'll
shatter your glass.
When it like cools down, like it'll stick so well to glass.
Oh, wow.
That it'll cool down and the glass will shatter. You'll just hear a crack as your build plate just shatters in half.
What I used to do, because I used to print on glass, what I would do is I'd put down a layer of glue stick. So that way
I don't know if glue stick is a sufficient layer. I would personally throw down a layer of blue tape. I mean, blue tape was the original print surface. Way back in the day, printers did not have heated beds like they do now.
You would literally use
like hairspray and glue stick and all sorts of different adhesives and stuff. And you would put literally blue painter's tape over the bed of your printer.
I do remember seeing that. And that was one thing I always wondered about with the adhesion. So what? There's now heated beds?
The heated bed,
for a long time. Yeah, because the heat helps the material stick to the bed.
Both PLA
and...
it prevents it
from warping.
Yeah.
Because the warping is caused by a difference in heat, right? Because you're taking 200 degrees at the nozzle, and then you're just putting it down on, say, a room temperature surface. It's going to want to peel up and away as it cools down. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to reduce the amount of cooling that happens to that material. So you have longer to print it. It stays at an elevated temperature.
PLA also gets tacky whenever it gets hot. Not nearly as much as PETG. Mm. PETG feels like glue. Feels like hot glue when it's hot.
Glorified hot glue gun.
Glue gun. But it's also probably food safe.
No,
probably.
It's, well, PLA freshly printed is food safe. I mean,
I thought PETG is also murdered. Probably food safe.
I'm not 100% certain, but
it's
the problem,
dishwasher safe.
The problem is the ridges in the material.
Yeah,
if you 3D print something, it's going to have each layer is like a tube, and so there becomes a little spot where I guess the two radiuses are tangential to each other. There's like a little crack that forms in between each layer.
Yeah, microbes.
And you get
a ton
of those, and the little microbes get in there, and it's impossible to clean. Mm. So you can print a cup and use it once. That's about it.
Yeah.
Just bleach it. What's the problem?
There are some other materials. As a beginner, I don't recommend you printing these, but I'm just going to mention them because I have some experience with them. I know Ian has some experience with them.
If you need them, you need them.
If you need them, you need them. ABS, just like, you know what Lego bricks are made of?
Was that the first?
That was the first.
ABS was what I've heard of.
The original printing material.
Acetylbutylene styrene, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. It's a styrene-based material, oil-based. It smells pretty bad when you print it. It warps like crazy. It really wants to peel off the bed. Needs like a heated enclosure, basically. People make printers with like a heater inside the chamber and it heats up the whole thing. The bed's got to be at like 100 degrees Celsius practically. Right. It's pretty intense stuff.
The craziest thing to me is the tensile strength of a Lego brick.
Yeah, and on ABS, 3D printed ABS still holds some of that. Like it's really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Really strong stuff. And it's cheap and it's readily available, but it smells horrible when you print it and it warps like crazy and it's a pain in the ass.
VOCs, bad for your lungs, all that stuff.
There's also ABS's younger brother, ASA, which is effectively also a styrene, very similar plastic. The only difference
is modified ABS, I think. It's a slightly different blend
of plastics. It's way more UV resistant because ABS, if you leave it out in the sun, it'll crack and it'll disintegrate. Mm. But ASA will last in UV. That's the main difference. Everything else, it's identical. It'll melt when you put acetone to it. Like, which actually, the ABS melting when you put acetone to it is sometimes a desirable behavior in 3D printing.
Feature.
Because you can put it into a bucket with acetone vapor clouds, and it will smooth your 3D print.
Yeah.
So that it won't
look
3D
really
printed.
Good.
It does look really good.
I got to try that at some point. I don't really have a printer that can do.
More, I guess, complex way. If you had dual printer, dual extrusion.
Oh,
printer,
two nozzles, two hot ends.
Two nozzles. You could print one thing. You could print your supports out of like ABS and then just dip.
Or different material. You want PVA.
PVA
is a water-soluble material. So you literally take your print and you dunk it in water, and then it dissolves away the supports, and you're just left with a perfect clean print.
Fun fact, there is actually the equivalent for ABS, which is HIPS.
HIPS is lime water or some other weird like material. Why do you not want the ABS in PVA?
Because it doesn't adhere.
Does it not adhere?
It won't adhere to each other at all.
It should
be fine,
depending.
It depends. There's also flexible filaments. Like, for example, this phone case is made of TPU. You can print TPU on your 3D printer. It's a nightmare, but you can do it.
It depends on the printer.
It also depends on the printer.
Ender 3 is the worst printer.
Your
printer,
don't even try it.
His printer's direct drive now. He'd be fine.
I still wouldn't, because it's still...
PLA is the way to go.
PLA is
the way to go to start out.
They're in agreement.
There's also a polycarbonate, which is another nightmare to print. Yeah. But again, if you can print it, it's some of the strongest shit you can print.
Did I ever give you that spool of PC?
You did give me that spool of polycarbonate. I want to try it someday. There's also nylon.
Hmm.
You can 3D print nylon. But for the most part, I stick to PLA and PETG, as should you.
Okay.
Because it's cheap and readily available, and it prints good enough and strong enough.
Lowest maintenance, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So, but now, so let's break down the whole process of from A to B. What do you need to do to 3D print a model? Because I think that'd be a good thing to like kind of summarize everything we've just talked about into like a step-by-step process.
Yeah, something that's a little shorter than 48 minutes.
Yeah. So step one, the order's a little different than what we talked in, but I think this makes the most sense logically. Step one, you got to find something you want to print. Go to Printables. Go to Thingiverse. Go to
Cults 3D.
Or get an idea and learn how to 3D model. We'll get to that'll be another day.
Yeah.
Step zero, buy a printer.
Yeah,
step zero, buy a printer.
Actually have a 3D printer.
Step zero.
Get a broken one from a friend.
Oh, 0.5.
0.5 is set it up. Yep. Yeah.
0.5 is set. Well, then you download the model. Then you load the 3D model into your slicer of choice. Probably Prusa slicer, if I was given a choice.
It's been chosen for me.
In Prusa slicer,
you have to select which material you're printing in. So you select that material. That'll set up a bunch of the settings for your printer, so that way it'll work better with that material. You also select your layer height, which is, again, how coarse you want the 3D model.
Mm-hmm.
The main, for like most beginners, the only difference is how fast you get the print done.
Right.
0.2.
0.2 is like a good compromise. 0.3 if you really want it to print fast.
What are these units? The highest you can go on a 0.3 millimeter nozzle.
0.3 millimeters.
Oh, okay.
That's the layer height. That's how thick the layers are whenever it's slicing them.
I would stay at 0.2.
For the most part, yeah. I print at 0.3 because I'm impatient.
But you also run a bigger nozzle, right?
No, I don't. No? I run a 0.4 and it prints just fine.
So nozzles can run different speeds based on your like slew rate?
Based on the diameter of the nozzle is the main differentiation. So
you're always locked into one value? You're saying you can like choose?
You can choose the layer height to be whatever you want.
Because the Z-axis is infinite, like at infinite resolution. Not effectively infinite.
Effectively.
Yeah, where the Z height can be any difference size. So it can be 0.2 millimeters, it can be 0.3. Your limiting factor is how wide your nozzle. You can never print higher than 3/4 of your nozzle width.
Roughly. Okay. I go a little lower than that. That's I go like 60, like, 65%.
I see. I'm able to do 75 on my printer. I was able to do 75 on that printer when I had it, and it worked just fine.
I would be able to. I've done 75% of the nozzle diameter.
Okay.
75% of the nozzle diameter.
So I recommend 0.2 for 90% of things with the nozzle diameter that you have, though. That's okay. Half of 0.2. The nozzle's height. Or nozzle's width, excuse me. After that, you then load the model onto the SD card, which is a common way for 3D printers to transfer the files between the printer and the host machine because they're easy to interface with. SPI
uses flash drives.
The newer Prusas use flash drives.
Back in the day, you had to get a computer that was permanently connected to that 3D printer.
And there's your other option.
Feed the G code into the printer, and the printer would run.
Yeah, G code is what your slicer produces, by the way.
G-code is just generic code to move any CNC machine. All 3D printers are CNC machines, and they accept G-code.
Yeah.
One of the super common commands, the most common command, is G1, which is just go to. I want you to go to 50 millimeters on the X-axis, or I want you to go to 50-50, which is 50 millimeters on the X, 50 millimeters on the Y-axis.
Mm. Yeah.
And XY is like along the table. XY is flat, and then Z is the vertical direction that goes up and down.
It's actually different from Minecraft. Minecraft uses
Minecraft uses an X invalid, like just incorrect coordinate system straight up. It's all arbitrary. It's wrong in my opinion.
So after you have the model on your flash device, you then need to do your pre-printing prep on your printer itself. For example, you need to load the filament that you're going to be printing.
Clear off the bed.
Make sure everything's clear.
Clean it.
Yeah.
Do some alcohol wipes.
Alcohol is what you clean the bed with, usually IPA. Just make sure it's dry before you start printing. Mm-hmm. And then you need to level the bed, which basically means you need
You should be leveling the bed before you even start printing.
You probably should, but I always, when I had the Ender 3, I did usually level the bed probably once a day when I was printing just to be extra sure because it didn't hold level very much. That basically means
That's a spring issue. You can get better springs to hold level a bit better.
You basically take the 3D, you have it go to 0, 0, 0, and then you move the 3D printer bed forward a little bit, and you move the nozzle above one of the lead screws that's underneath one of the screws that's underneath the bed, and you take a piece of paper and you run the piece of paper underneath the nozzle and you adjust the screw until the piece of paper just barely doesn't have any tension. Like you do it until you feel the tension.
Just a hair.
And you do that 4 times in each of the corners, and then your bed is level. That means that it's not level with the ground or level with the gravity of Earth, it's level with the nozzle moving across it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that leveling the bed means, because I heard leveling the bed and didn't do any research and thought it literally meant that everything had to be level.
Yeah, I'm thinking bring out a spirit level. All right.
Yeah, no, it's not that. Most modern printers actually do this automatically, but yours is a little older.
Damn.
So it won't.
All right.
Then you start your print. And you watch the first 3 layers.
Yeah, that makes sense.
First 3? I watch the first half a layer, and as long as the first layer is good,
don't
I
listen
walk
to Ian.
Away.
Yeah, watch your first 3.
I'm not
going
to listen to Ian on this one. He's been doing this longer.
That's also fair. Watch
your first 3-ish layers. All right. And then as long as your first 3 stick, you're probably good to walk away, but still periodically check on it and make sure everything's okay.
I mean, the great thing about a 3D printer is that while a 3D printer is printing and you're brand new to it, oh my God, is it mesmerizing. You could just stare at it and watch that thing move and place down material.
I'm still like that. Time.
There are people that like watching time-lapse videos, so people will set up like a camera.
I think that'd be fun.
Right up along their extruder, and it'll just move up. And just
some labs. What do you think the first 3 layers, how long would that take? Like a couple minutes?
Maybe like 5 minutes.
It depends on how big the object also is. I mean, it's entirely a
medium sized object.
I don't know. I mean, depending on how fast you
print. Worst
case
scenario, like maybe don't even like stare at it. Maybe more like just
be in the room.
Be in the room.
Okay.
Yeah, that's hours.
Babysit it. I mean, I plan on doing that, like watching religiously, because I'm sure something's going to go wrong.
Keep an eye on it. Check back with it periodically. And then.
Yep.
I doubt my first 5 prints will work.
That's my entire like
Trying to be realistic here.
That's my whole spiel. Do you have any questions that I did not answer?
Yeah, I think questions are good because
concerns, complaints.
I'm not sure I have any
critiques.
Well, this is good to know. I had no idea what a slicer was, so I feel a little
hey,
bit more.
You know what? That's important. You're going to need that.
I feel slightly more equipped than before.
A slicer will run on any PC made like less than 10 years ago.
So all right,
it'll run on a Raspberry Pi.
This is good that I've sort of heard some of these terms rattling around out there in the universe before, but now I feel like I at least have.
Probably mostly from us.
Yeah, probably. I feel like I could at least now piece them together better. I'll have to go find some good prints online and see if I can't get something printing.
Yeah, it probably took, I was able, lucky, and got my first print working the first day I owned my printer, but I've heard of a lot of stories of people taking like a few days to actually.
Well, unfortunately, I think he's not that lucky because he's had that printer for a long time now.
Hey, I told you I wasn't going to touch it.
Yeah, so. I know. You know what? You've been true to your word.
Now
you
finally have an excuse.
You do have an excuse to touch it. So, well, if anyone has any questions, feel free to put them in the comments. We love seeing comments. We love responding to stuff. So feel free to do so, and we'll answer your question as soon as we see it. So, but this has been the 3D printer episode of Casual Coders. We probably will have more in the future, but this is just the 3D.
The first one.
3D printing for beginners.
Yeah,
it's kind of like what this episode is going to be. So it's
casual
perfect.
3D.
Yeah, next year it's going to be me being the expert.
I hope so. That would honestly be great. I really want to do a follow-up in the future where you come back with all your 3D prints and all your 3D printing experience. All and you can also say, God, the Ender 3 is a piece of... anyway.
Got big shoes to fill.
Got big shoes to fill.
All right. Well,
but with that, I think you'd get out there and get printing. Go download some models and print some more stuff.
Get printing. Thank you all so much for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.